Good evening. Welcome to the IOG's first radio show, Bite Me. Now, tonight with us, we've got Chaz over with Hack Dog on the couch. I hope they're not watching that Russian porn. Oh, well. And also with us tonight, we've got Black Ice, Thomas Icon.
Where's my damn beer?
And your host, Mercenary. Now, Binary would have been with us here tonight, but it's my understanding that there is an incredible sale on broccoli down at the local grocery store, which he could just not pass up.
And he's down there filling the back of his pickup truck full of the stuff.
Well, you know how them vegetarians are. They got to eat about 30 meals a day just to keep their stomachs full. But now, I guess we slammed Binary enough. On to more important news. First thing we'd like to talk about tonight is 2600 Magazine, your favorite magazine. excuse me, I think I choked on something there. But now, why are we a little bit slanted with 2600 Magazine? Well, it seems that our good friend Eric Corley down at 2600 Magazine will only support hackers if he thinks that they're news media worthy enough. No, I'm not talking about us. No, we're not that conceited, and to tell you the truth, we don't need that much publicity. But we're talking about our good friend with Bo Trout, otherwise known as Jason Mawiney. Now, some of you may not know Jason's case, or Trout's case, as we'd like to say, and I hope I'm not butchering your name, Jason. I hope I'm pronouncing Mawiney correct. If I'm not, hey, I'm sorry. But what we'd like to talk about is, why is Jason in jail? Now, it seems that Jason decided to hack a NASA webpage. Now, why did Jason hack a NASA webpage? Well, he hacked that page with information for 2600 Magazine. Seems that he wanted to support 2600 Magazine by putting up information about their two poster boys, Bernie Yes and Kevin Mitnick. Oh, well, that's what you get for trying to support 2600 Magazine. But, now, Jason originally faced 51 charges and a $70,000 fine for his alleged involvement in the NASA defacement, but what he originally ended up with was he was sentenced to 6 months in jail after pleading guilty to 12 of the 51 charges against him, and he's also, when he gets out, he may be serving time under house arrest. Now, I know none of you have read about this in 2600 Magazine, that's why I'd like you to go to Bo's website, specifically freetrout.bo.org. And check out the information for yourself, and I think you'll find it's a little bit better than you'll find over on 2600, because you ain't going to find nothing, because they have not supported him at all. But, what else did I want to say? Well, I would like any of you who've got the time and the inclination, maybe to send Jason a little gift, maybe a little something for the defense fund, maybe a little something to read, maybe something a little bit better than 2600 Magazine, I can sure tell you that. But, here's Jason's address where you can mail him information, postcard, a hello, maybe an old copy of Blacklisted, because you know even that was better than 2600, but hey, here's Jason's address. It's Jason Mawiney, and it's spelled M-E-W-H-I-N-E-Y, and that's Box 90 in Monteith, Ontario, and that's spelled M-O-N-T-E-I-T-H. The zip's P-O-K-1-P-O, and that's in Canada. Jason's serving time up there. Hey, Jason, we're with you. We feel for you. And now I'd like to turn the microphone over to your friend and mine, Black Ice.
Golf clap. Greetings, all. Black Ice here. Just for those of you who picked up the last Fantasy Magazine, you'll notice that there was a signal intelligence guideline that I put in there. And I just want to thank all of you that have been sending an email wanting to get on board with that. Little pet project of mine started a few months before we put it in that magazine. I started beta testing in our area just to see if there are any people out there with initiative, any interest in getting on board with something like that. For those of you who aren't aware of what this is, basically to summarize it, the project is to confirm publicly available frequency lists and update the frequency lists, basically on usage and undisclosed frequencies. One thing that I found, especially getting involved with signal intelligence and just monitoring frequencies, a lot of companies, governments, branches and so forth will operate outside their FCC-regulated frequencies. Sometimes you can get some pretty interesting traffic, so one thing that I started doing was asking a little help, because I'll tell you, aside from needing patience and and a scanner, you need a lot of people involved with this to really get a good list going. Those of you who want to get involved, by all means, you know, pick up the latest fantasy or just pop me off an email. I'll give you the guidelines for it. You know, any basic scanner or working knowledge of it is going to help. And what I'll do is if you just give me the general area that you're operating out of, I'll get you the frequencies to check out and some time frames that you can watch it. And it can definitely be, well, tedious at times, but exciting when you do get something. It can be pretty fun. Regarding 2600, you know, they've been around a long time. Those of you who've been picking up their Hacker Quarterly probably have been disappointed at times to find some of the rhetoric that's been involved in that. But there are benefits to sending in subscriptions to 2600. My understanding, you can get some memorabilia that you can share with your kids and grandkids someday just for writing something. So all you people out there who feel like writing, bang something out. By the looks of it, doesn't matter what it is, just bang something out, send it in. You know, hook yourself up with a free subscription, maybe a t-shirt or two, and you'd be all set. All that aside, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have Tom talk about a couple scanners that you know, you might be interested in picking up, and we'll go from there.
Hi, this is Thomas Icon, IIRG SIGINT specialist on our first edition here of Bite Me. We're going to talk a little bit about communications interception, a few basic things. Your common police scanner is one of the most potentially useful tools that a hacker survivalist could have. They've come a pretty long way from those old, bulky, crystal-controlled affairs that have a handful of channels. Your contemporary scanners fit in the palm of your hand. They have 1,000 keyboard programmable channels and wideband frequency coverage from 100 kilohertz to 2 gigahertz. Certain models even have the ability to follow communications on trunked radio systems that are used by government and certain businesses. And for the uninitiated, a scanner is a VHF-UHF communications receiver that has the ability to step through multiple channels or scan, stopping on a frequency it detects traffic on. With a scanner, you can monitor frequencies used by government agencies, the military, public safety, emergency services, utility companies, businesses, and yes, even wireless telecommunications devices. Some of the more deluxe units even cover the HF shortwave region, which has, you know, worldwide communications of all sorts on it. Yes, the use of digital communications systems and encryption is on the rise, but there's still plenty of monitorable activity for the foreseeable future. And as you know, as technology on the hobbyist end advances, you're going to see a lot more of the digital modes become available to hobbyists. The military has an entire discipline dedicated to the collection of intelligence by monitoring communications. They call it COMINT, COMINT, which is short for Communications Intelligence. COMINT is a subset of SIGINT, which is Signals Intelligence. SIGINT basically covers anything that's electromagnetically radiated, where COMINT specifically indicates you know, communications between two or more parties. It's really, really interesting because the military gives communications intelligence a top secret SCI, or specially compartmented information security classification. That's basically the highest classification that's out there in the military. But COMINT can be done by any individual with half a brain and a $100 receiver available at a pawn shop. There's plenty of information available via open sources on the net and elsewhere. And, of course, there's a lot of information on the IIRG SIGINT pages that you can access via www.iirg.org. Both Black Ice and myself maintain separate pages regarding the art of signals intelligence and communications monitoring. Interesting story. Back in my reserve component days, I was giving this E-798 Charlie. For you civilians, that's a sergeant first class with a signal intelligence analyst military occupational specialty. I was giving him a ride in my old Russian trawler Crown Vic, and remember the dead silence that resulted after I explained the COMO package inside the vehicle to him. It was only an ICOM IC2000 2-meter mobile, Kenwood TK805D UHF mobile, unit in 10-meter radio, VHF low band Motorola Max Track and a old realistic Pro 2026 scanning receiver, but he was just totally dead silent after I explained to him what all the equipment was. Just gives you kind of an idea of the you know, the mentality that's there regarding something that's very, very common and out in the open. Another neat little known fact about military SIGINT is that in order to become a SIGINT analyst, you not only have to have this really high ASVAB score, but you have to receive a qualifying score on the AAT, the Analytical Aptitude Test. The AAT has a 90% failure rate among those tested. At any rate, if you're interested in non-classified material on intelligence analysis, we do have a copy of Army Field Manual FM34-3, which is intelligence analysis, and that's available up on my SIGINT scanner webpage, which is, of course, www.irg.org /TICOM/scanner, SCANNER.html. And Black Ice's SIGINT page is at www.iirg.org/tilde_black_ic/. There's a lot of good equipment out there, and selection of your receiver is pretty much a matter of personal preference and operational requirements. For those of you living in areas where public safety agencies use a Motorola or GE Ericsson trunk system, the EDAX, my recommendation would be a unit in Bearcat BC245XLT trunk tracker. This unit is a refinement of the original trunk tracker, which is still available, the BC235XLT. Differences being is that the 235 basically only trunk tracked 800 megahertz smart net systems, whereas the 245 not only tracks that system but also tracks smart nets down in 400 and 900 megahertz, as well as tracking the GE EDAX system. And if you got a trunk system you want to monitor your area, that's pretty much the unit to go. If you're looking for a really small wideband unit that has great audio, I'm a big fan of the ICOM R2. Unit fits in the palm of your hand, has great audio, 400 channels, and covers AM narrowband FM and wideband FM for about 500 kilohertz to 1300 megahertz. Obviously, minus the cellular bands if you're purchasing a receiver in the United States. Because due to federal law, there's no new scanners with cellular phone coverage being sold in the United States to ordinary civilians. Those of you who want a unit like that are going to have to either check out used equipment sources, such as Hamfest or pawn shops. Two units you want to look at are the realistic Pro 2006 base station, the Pro 43 handheld. But good luck finding one, and when you do, you're gonna spend a pretty penny for it because they have a high resale value. However, these days, scanners that are sold by Radio Shack are not only overpriced, but lacking in performance. There's much better equipment out there, such as the unit in Trump trackers and the ICOM R2 and especially the R10 handheld receiver, which pretty much does everything in a unit that's about the size of a standard 2-meter walkie-talkie. Well, that's about it right now for the SIGINT end, and we're going to pass it back over to Mercenary, your host.
Well, that's about it for this evening, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed the show. Surprisingly, most of the memberships remain to stay sober through the entire show, except Chaz. He looks a little fuzzy over there. Hat dog scratches, too. But in closing, I'd like to say, if you're going to hack, don't go out and download a script. I know, hell, we even provide them on our own webpage, but we've been seriously rethinking that. We may get rid of some of them. But if you're going to hack, get out there. Actually do something. Don't just download a script. Call yourself a hacker. And for God's sake, whatever you do, don't call yourself a white hat hacker. There's no such animal. There never has been, never will. Either a hacker or a security consultant. Decide which side of the fence you're on. And that's it for us. We're out for tonight. See you all next week. Bye.